Well, hello there, and happy National Hunting and Fishing Day to you. And boy, well, we got a great little taste of fall weather to celebrate it to. And when your outdoor activity celebration wraps up today, today's also National Drink a Beer Day. I think you can have fun doing a little bit of both. Also, if you don't have any plans for this National Hunting and Fishing Day, I've got some ideas for you we'll pass along to you. And if you happen to have a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, I had a couple of them, we'd like to include it along with the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. We also want to include your comments, any questions you might have, as well as your name and where you're listening. I've got another question for you, too. Today's bad boy of the outdoors failed to obey a new redfish regulation. And if you could change one regulation, what is the one, and just one, that really gets you going and you love to see change? You can do all of that by texting us at 504-260-1870. Your text message comes directly in here to the studio at St. Hubert's Cathedral, and we'll pass it along with our listeners. Well, besides talking about the three trips I've recently had, including a Texas dove hunt, an alligator hunt with our plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and a couple tigers in the wild were there too, by the way, and an absolutely perfect teal hunt with Louisiana Marsh Guide Service Mike Smith out of Delacroix Island. We're also going to hear from both of those professionals from their duck blinds coming up in the second hour of the program. If you're headed out on this National Hunting and Fishing Day, and hope you are, got some pretty nice conditions out there. Humidity's going to be a little bit lower, almost no chance of rain along the Gulf Coast, and westerly winds. Now, west is not the best for Louisiana. There are a few areas and fishermen I've spoke to who prefer a west wind, and you would think it might be a good wind because it empties a lot of lakes and bayous and gets the water moving if there's no tide in particular. But for some reason, it has a tendency to muddy the water and dirty it up. It's not like a good old light southeast wind blowing in some good, clean, fresh water. Well, here's your forecast. If you're headed offshore today, a west wind 10 to 15, going to be 2 to 4, but that's calming down for tomorrow. Excellent day to be offshore, where the wind direction really doesn't matter that much. 5 to 10 and 1 to 2-foot seas. Go get those snapper before they run out. Now, on the interior lakes and bays, that 5 to 10 west wind today is just going to have a light chop on it. And tomorrow, the westerly wind only 5 knots, smooth conditions, lower temperatures, lower humidity, got a pretty good tide range, 1.0. Mississippi River stage at 3.7 with a tendency for a little bit of a rise. So the stage is set for this National Hunting and Fishing Day. We've got some official celebrations taking place across the state. I'll run down the list of those. Some of those are going to be opening up pretty soon. 8 a.m. for some, 9 for others. We've got 4 of them across the state, and there's lots of great activities going on there, so we'll fill you in on that. Also, I've got something else you might want to do. I'll be here later today at the grand opening of the Pack Range, the Pack Gun Range, located on Highway 59 between Mandeville and Nabita Springs. It's just north of I-12. If you were tuned in last week, you heard me talking to James Peters. He's got a lot of things set up there, including some free food from Banano Catering, a raffle, door prizes, and you can meet the mayor of St. Tammany Parish. Mike Cooper's going to be out doing there doing a ribbon cutting on a beautiful facility. It's state-of-the-art technology, one of the greatest places to go. And you know, I'm always surprised at how many people own firearms, and in particular handguns, not so much shotguns and rifles, but they've never fired them, or they don't fire them regularly, and that is so important to be proficient and know your weapon. And there's no better place to do it than a great gun range, and this is a good one opening up in St. Tammany Parish. All right, we come back after this. We headed to St. Bernard Parish. I spent a day down there this week. Let's talk to Robbie Campo, get the story on the fishing right after this time out, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's start off our fishing report info with Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. And Robbie, man, I think between the tide range and the nice little drop in the weather and the cool little snap that came in the air and light winds and a good tide range, man, I got to think you're going to have expect a good turnout today down there.
Well, Don, you know, I hope so. We started the week out, you know, with some pretty good fishing around here, you know, from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, Monday and Tuesday for sure. Wednesday was kind of slow, giving you a recap of the week. Then Thursday we had, you know, no one fished Thursday. yesterday we had a few people out, and but the wind blew yesterday. You know, it was helping around here yesterday. The wind was blowing out of the north. We had some guys that went fishing yesterday that didn't do all that great, but the guys that fished up in the marshes, up in the Bluxy Marsh, did fairly well. They went and caught some redfish up in there. They had to stay in that interior marsh because the wind was just blowing so bad yesterday. This morning we have a southwest wind. It's blowing around, I don't know, 5-6 miles an hour this morning out to the southwest. But I still think, with this little shakeup that we had with this, this storm, and, it went into Florida, of course, but still in all, we still had high tides here. But that's all receded now, and we have a low tide this morning, so tide's kind of low, way under the dock. So I'm thinking this morning, if the wind stays out of the west, the southwest wind, if you're going to fish Lake Bourne, on a western shoreline of Lake Bourne, something has got to turn loose around here real soon. We were catching pretty decent trout until Thursday. So, and that was local. That was like Duluth Canal, the eastern shoreline of Lake Bourne. Now this morning you have a southwest wind blowing. So your leeward bank would be the west shoreline of Lake Bourne to fish today instead of the eastern shoreline. But I still think you could put some fish in the boat today. Usually when they got a west wind, nobody wants to fish anyway. But I still think you can make it happen today, Don.
Yeah, I believe you're right. It's going to be, I think, light enough, and they got a good tide range. It's going to be a question of finding the fish and maybe relocated. Because, yeah, I was down there Thursday, and we welcomed it, the wind, because we were teal hunting, and that's what you want. And we had an absolutely perfect day, and the weather was cool. But, yeah, there was a little chop and some dirty water down there, so I can understand it. But people are going to be getting back out. I think conditions are going to be improving from here on out and through next week. Let me ask you something, Robbie. I'm throwing a question out there for the audience, and I got a few people replied already. What is the one regulation that you think your customers would want to see change? What do you hear people griping about when they come down there the most? And I know this might take you a while to think about it because there's a lot
no,
of things people
no,
gripe
I could,
about.
This is no, they want the trout to go back to 12 inches instead of 13. Some people are satisfied with the 13-inch rule, but
yeah.
I would say if I did a survey here, I would say 95% of the people that I spoke with over the last several months here at the marina here, Don, would definitely want to see it back at 12 inches. And I guess it's frustrating because, you're out there, you're catching a 12 and 7/8 fish, that would be a keeper last year, but it isn't this year. So until everybody gets used to this new rule, but if something could change, I think that would be it. They're satisfied with the 15. The 15's fine. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to go back to 12. That would be it.
Yeah, I can understand that. You like you say, you get in the fish and you got to release them. And there's a lot of question about the mortality. How many of those fish survive?
That's the point.
Know? Yeah.
That's the whole point right here. So are we doing any good or are we doing more harm than good? So, the guys that fish, a treble hook or my biggest thing is, fishing by the long rocks and, the pot of dolphins comes along and they're around a boat and, you're throwing fish back. That fish is not, it's going right and flip his belly. So, he's going to eat it. Or the pelican that's just hanging out on the rocks. You try to throw it far away from them. So, are we doing the fisheries any good with a 12 and a half, with a 13-inch rule? Would we be better off with a 12-inch rule? I don't know, Don. We say this many, many times on this show. We don't make the laws. We just abide by them. And that's one that I think people would love to see change.
Well, we'll see. It's always the possibility that it could change back. But we'll see. Maybe it'll work out and where people start catching bigger fish and they'll be happy with them, But I know for it's a little tough. And don't forget, we got to remind people on the flounder rule, too. The flounders are
going to be
off
coming
limits.
Up. Yeah, that's right. That's coming up. You won't be able to keep them for a month. So And you know what, Don? It looks like the day they close this thing, people go out. That's all they catch.
Yeah, right. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, Robbie, enjoy this nice weather. I know it's a blessing for you because you're in it every day. And thanks again for your reports all the time. We appreciate it.
Oh, man, no problem, bud. All right, talk to you next Saturday, Don. All right, buddy, bye-bye. Right.
When they cross the bridge, hang the left, as Robbie says. All right, we'll be back to talk more about teal season. And also, what is your main gripe? If you could change one regulation, would it be going back to 12-inch minimum size on trout in Louisiana or something else? 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Comes right here to the studio. Tell us who you are, where you are. Got comments, questions? We'd love to hear from you right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's National Hunting and Fishing Day. I got four locations across the state where the activities will be celebrating National Hunting and Fishing Day. And, you know, the history of this day is, goes back to the early 1980s, when they first declared it. I think in that was in Louisiana we started having these events, but it was long before that, sometime in the 1970s, when it became a tradition in most parts of the country. It's every fourth Saturday in September, and it's dedicated to hunting and fishing. There are celebrations that go on across the state, and each one of these, you're going to find some unique opportunities for demonstrations, talking about conservation efforts. Some of the groups will be out there, like the Safari Club, CCA. Some businesses, they'll have demonstrations of products and exhibits. They used to cook game and fish samples in the heyday of these events, but I don't think they do that anymore. They want to give people a sample, and they had some of the department staff go out there and actually cook up some of the wild game and let people sample it. Changed a lot of people's opinion, too. They're a lot of fun. They're absolutely free. You can go to any one of these. There'll be one in Monroe at the Black Bayou Lake National Wildlife Refuge. That kicks off at 9 a.m. till 2 o'clock. Wadio Wildlife Refuge, that's probably the one that gets the most attendance. It's on North Flannery Road in Baton Rouge. That opens up at 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. Woodworth, at the Woodworth Shooting Range, from 8 to 1:30. And at the Bodcaw WMA, the Tom Merrill Recreation Area's exact location, that's in Houghton. That one runs from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. this afternoon. You know, my question on these events are great. I think the department does a pretty good job on setting it up and exposing people to hunting and fishing. But my question has been for years, why are there no longer any of these in the metro New Orleans area? This is one of the most highly populated areas in the state, but yet it's totally neglected on National Hunting and Fishing Day. And I'm kind of wondering why that is. Anybody have any idea? I mean, we've got them in Baton Rouge and Monroe and Houghton out in southwest Louisiana, Woodworth. I don't see any over in, lower southwest Louisiana. They used to have one over there, too, but none there and none in the largest area. That really probably the fewest opportunities for some people, particularly young people, to get out and experience hunting and fishing and be exposed to it. And I think they could do a lot of recruitment of outdoorsmen by putting one of these events on in the metro New Orleans area. And there's locations where they could do it. But just, I don't know, maybe somebody else can tell me why they don't. And maybe that's something for our Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary, Madison Shahan, to take a look at. All right, we're also asking you this morning, if there was one regulation that you could change, if you had the power to do it, what would it be? And here's the first one, says there's absolutely no reason to change the redfish from 16 to 18 inches. Spawn doesn't happen till 27. I totally understand the trout. It gives them an extra year. Well, actually, trout, most of them do spawn at 12 inches. It just keeps more of them in the water to do the spawn to bring back the population. And I think that's the same philosophy on the redfish, going from the 16-inch minimum up to 18. By releasing all of those fish under 18 inches, it keeps more fish in the water besides reducing the creel limit by 1 to 4. So there's more fish there to reach that 27-inch and above to do the spawning. And our bad boy, the outdoor story, is a guy who either didn't get the memo or he didn't care on the 27-inch size. We'll tell you his story a little bit later on. But there it is. I don't think you'll see that change back. It could if we see an abundance of redfish on the next population survey. All right, here's a text that says, increase the bass limit to 15. I think in some areas that certainly could be done without hurting the population. But I think based on the particular water body, I think some places get so much pressure that that might hurt the population. But particularly in the lower fresh, brackish marsh areas where bass have a tendency to be smaller and more prolific, I think it could stand raising the limit. But, you know, 15 is a lot of fish on bass. But, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. That's what we're asking you. All right, we're hearing this one. This one says, Mr. Don, we've been doing real well on the teal with this front. Yeah, you and a lot of other folks had kind of gave us a shot in the arm. We got this little front. It brought some new birds into the state. But he, Rooster Ray, Blake, and Mason are back at them this morning. Well, good luck to you. Our backstrap stacker, he's checking in from Alabama. He's got a little work early, but then he's headed to Tuscaloosa. I wonder what's going on up there. Football game. He's enjoying the little break from the humidity. Have a great day. You know, backstrap stacker goes out and does a lot of work on his food plots, and it seems like he picks the hottest, worst days to do it. Today would be the day to do that, but understand, football's part of life in the South. And, man, they were cooking in Tiger Stadium last Saturday afternoon. I can tell you that. People were leaving, and looked like there was a poor attendance, and it was just so hot and intense. And on that 2:30 kickoff, just had to give it a break. All right, here we got Roland Cortez, our premier duck hunting and goose hunting guide. He says they're going to be hunting the last weekend of teal season at Dave's Bayou up in northeast Louisiana. Hoping to finish strong. Let me know your full report, Roland, on how this season went for you when it ends. All right, here's one that says, I mainly fish in Breton Sound. The two fish over 20 rule is a killer for us. I understand that. You know, they reduced it to two speckled trout over 20. Some areas you catch most of your limit. If you're 15, would be 20 plus. And having to release them is a little tough. That same text message, that's Captain Robin. He says, teal season's been phenomenal in Venice. They had 2 4-man limits every day since last Saturday and going to get them this evening. Stay on them, Captain Robin. Get you some of those teal. All right, we have Lafitte LT. He would love to change this trout size to keeping 2 over 20, just like our last text is saying, that's a little bit sacrificial. When you get into some big trout, you can only keep 2. All right, got some more text messages coming in. What is your biggest gripe when it comes to regulations? And if you had the power to do it, what would you change? We're back to talk about that. Got some more fishing reports for you, some more teal reports, and all the stuff you and I love to talk about. Coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, if you're just getting up, here's what's going on. It's National Hunting and Fishing Day. Got lots of celebration events put on by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries taking place across the state. Hopefully we'll get some good fishing returned after we had some pretty brisk winds. A lot of that residual stuff coming from a front that came through, and that was good news for teal hunters. It brought some birds in, so you got teal season you can participate in. Red snapper, we still have some red snapper to catch in Louisiana. Last count was of September the 15th. That was a while back. And we had reached 94% of our quota. We had almost 1 million pounds. We were at 878, 972. I would think we are in possibly the last couple of weeks, depending on the weather and the catch, of the red snapper season in Louisiana. Deer season's already open in some areas of the state. Dove is wrapping up today in one of the zones. We got teal hunting wrapping up this weekend. And, of course, lots of fresh and saltwater fishing to take part in. Lots of things to do on this National Hunting and Fishing Day. We got lots of reports coming up from Grand Isle and Empire and Lake Catherine area and Slidell. Also, Burris, we got lots of reports, and also a special paddler's report we do every week with Captain Eric Mohabarak. We'll be back to get to some of your text messages coming, and we're asking you, what is the one regulation, if you had the authority, that you would change? We'll do that right after we pause these quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got this one from my buddy Wingbone, our turkey call maker. Makes them out of turkey wings. He's working on another one. Boy, he's steady at it. Go get him, Wingbone. We'd love to hear from you. Mad truckers out there in the roads listening to us. And here's one says, it would be nice to hold a National Hunting and Fishing Day at the Dome or even the Alario Center in West Wego. If they did it in the dome, that would present some problems for the shooting aspect. They do let people shoot black powder weapons. I think they might even have BB guns. It kind of varies for kids, but shooting is part of it. And, you know, renting a dome, they would have to donate that on a free event. I don't know. I just don't think it would work out in the dome. Lario Center in Westwego got some good possibilities there. There are other places, too, where they could certainly hold those and host them and put it on. But for some reason, New Orleans has been ignored on National Hunting and Fishing Day. All right, here's a text from the Stacker again. He says, closing the flounder fishing is ridiculous. I'd like to see no closure on flounders. That wasn't the Stacker. That was someone else. The Stacker says, in Alabama, it's 2 snapper per person per trip. Would be nice to bump it up to 4. I agree. You go out there in the Gulf. There's some other species to catch, but long trip sometimes to catch 2 red snapper and go home. A lot of people, it's not enough. But problem Alabama had, you guys got shortchanged on the quota. I think now that you're doing real-time reporting, like we did with Lock Creel here in Louisiana, it allows you to get a better handle on what's out there, and I think you will get a larger quota next year where you can either bump it up to 4 or maybe have more days. I would think going four would be the way to go. All right, here's one that says, regulations need changing. The Sockelet limits are too high in South Louisiana. Okay, well, I only gave you one, but we'll give you this one. It says also no wake zones, often not marked well and reevaluated regularly as to whether they are necessary, the right length, etc. Kayakers need to use a tall pole with a flag so they can be seen over marsh grass or at all in some cases. All good things that you bring up there. We appreciate that. That was from Miriam listening to us in Lacombe. And here's another one that says, I would change the existing trout size. Nothing over 20 inch could be kept. Whoa, that would be very, very drastic. Nothing over 20 inches. There's going to be some people there who wouldn't be able to keep any fish. It would be strictly catch and release. All right, you got a particular gripe. We'd love to hear it. 504-260-1870, and maybe we can pass that along. I tell you, I don't know if I have one in particular, but one thing I've noticed, and it was confirmed again this week when I went out, we got too many alligators in Louisiana. We really have an overpopulation in the wild of alligators. It's a lot of reasons. The comeback that was put in was very successful. I've seen alligators go from endangered species to protected, and now with regulated harvest, commercial, and now they've got a lottery system. I think maybe that they need to come up with some kind of a program to make it easier for people who want to harvest alligators to do that, but not having to go through a landowner, be picked for a lottery. It could be done. It could still be regulated, but we need to, I think, reduce the population on alligators. We've just got so many of them out there, and they can be a danger to particularly hunting dogs, in a lot of cases, people who think they can hand feed them. All right, here's one that says, another one, wanting to do away with the 12-inch, go back to the 12-inch size on the speckled trout. All right, I got a report in. A lot of you have been asking about fishing reports from Dulage. I had some reports come in recently. I think this was before the wind, or maybe it was right after the wind laid down. Sister Lake and the Pickets, they've been hitting some trout hot spot there, both speckled trout and white trout. A lot of small fish, and they're catching them using plastics, sometimes under the birds. All right, we also want to remind you that while the red snapper season is probably winding down, while you go out there, add this to your catch in Louisiana. You can also have 1 amberjack, 34-inch minimum per person per day, and 1 gray triggerfish per person. Who have a thought? As plentiful as triggerfish used to be offshore, that we'd be seeing closures and limiting to 1. Things change. All right, we come back after this. We're going to try to catch up with Miss Jurisich, get you an Empire Fishing Report from the Delta Marina. We'll do it right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's head on down to Delta Marina and Empire and find out if when this wind stops, people are going to get out and catch some fish and what they might find. Let's talk to the operator of the Delta Marina, Mitch Jurisich. Hey, good morning, Mitch. Enjoying this weather?
Yes, I certainly am, Don. It's beautiful out there. I mean, it's just cooler temperatures, dry, filtered air. And the breeze is actually not too bad this morning. You know, it's feeling pretty good. The only thing is we have these pesky floodgates that are been closing almost every day, and it's just been unreal with the tide levels. You know, they've been really, really coming up real high at night. You know, so let's hope we get them open early this morning, and then we can get these boats out. The operators have been pretty good about letting people slide through once they launch their boats and stuff like that. But other than that, you know, this weather just feels great. Great for teal hunting, you know. I don't know what the alligators are doing right now. They probably loving it as well, too. You know, we all love this little cool feel air, so.
Yeah, well, both of those are about getting ready to wrap up. Not too much longer to go on those and take advantage of that. Given that the fishermen probably didn't have a lot of fishermen, so reports have been pretty scarce because those winds were pretty pesky and the tides were high, but what would you suggest people go and maybe give a shot this morning?
Actually, with the low river, the fish are stacked up in the river now, all the way up, you know, as far as Port Sulphur, they're catching redfish, flounders, you know, some speckled trout as well, too, in the river. So a lot of the guys have been going across on the east side to go catch redfish and all, crossing through the Empire Locks, going you know, through Ostrich and going to the east side. But they're coming back with kind of, you know, dismal catches. But my bait guy goes in the river every day, and he catches his limit of fish right there at the Empire Locks in the river. Jack Crevel is amazing, the big Jack Crevel that moved all the way upriver. I mean, it's not good for us because of the saltwater wedge. But, and I guess, you know, same thing with those fishermen trying to fish, you know, the east bank and downriver. They're having to deal with the fish being just so scattered out because they got this big river they can all be all up in and everything. But flounder catches have been really good. You know, of course, they are fixing to shut that down, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right, October 15th.
Okay. All right. Well, they got till October 15th to catch some flounders, I guess, and really good catches of flounders. So, but this is usually the month the speckled trout start kicking up in October, November. So we're looking forward to that. We just got to get through this hurricane season and all of that stuff as well. Because I mean, this has just been a nightmare for us watching one system after another just keep popping up in the Gulf. And I mean, I think midweek next week, we may be looking at another system in the Gulf of Mexico, just, you know, not giving us a break.
Well, let's hope these little frontal systems keep on coming, because that's certainly good news when you get into the late summer, early fall. Mitch, I've been asking listeners if there was one regulation that they could change that really bugs them. What do you think your customers tell you? What is the one thing that most people complain about as far as a regulation, wishing they could change it?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the redfish thing. You know, I mean, I know I've heard, you know, people griping about the flounder, the little closure for flounder season. But if you look at the flounders on the rebound, I mean, it's, you know, give them a little break, let them mate, let them do their thing. And but the redfish, you know, is kind of been, it's all right. It's better now. But a while back, you know, they were catching 16 and a half, 17 inch redfish and just having to throw everything back. And, you know, it's gotten better now. Just adjusting to that. So I think that's one of the bigger things, I think. The snapper, too. Don't get me wrong, red snapper, you know. I mean, there's abundance of red snapper out there everywhere you go. You know, even you're still catching red snapper. I know people, the hype is kind of down a little bit because people don't fish them as much as they do when a season opens. And that's with every opening of a season. You know, they come out and just slam them, and you get that little dull moment after that because the fish have kind of been hammered for a little while. But when you get these longer seasons, it seems like it works better.
Yeah, well, we've had a good successful season. Hopefully we'll continue to get that million pound or maybe even increase it for next year, because a lot of people love to fish those snapper. Mitch, before you go, National Hunting and Fishing Day, you got anything special on the menu at the Ponderosa for this weekend?
Everything special at the Ponderosa.
Yeah,
on the weekend, but you know, we just added a new roast beef po' boy to our menu, and I'm going to tell you, it is dynamite. I mean, our cook, Miss Rose, she does an excellent job. It's a peeled knuckle. I don't know where she came up with a peeled knuckle roast, but that's what she demands whenever we order her roast. And she just puts that together, man, on French bread with that gravy. And of course, it's you're going to get dirty eating it because it's so delicious. But of course, we always have the fresh catches out the bayou, our shrimp, our oysters, our charbroil oysters, off the charts, which we take pride in that as well. But soft shell shrimp. I mean, you know, if the, you know, it's just definitely get out there, go fishing, and come in and have lunch or dinner with us.
All right, I'm going to write that down, a peeled knuckle for the roast beef sandwich. And I'm sure you got ponchos you can sell people if they eat no sloppy roast beef, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Who needs a bib? You got to put a poncho on with these. A bib won't do you no good. So.
All right. Lots of fun. All sounds good. Y'all have a great weekend, Mitch, and we'll catch up with you next time, my friend.
You as well, Don. And these cool fronts are starting to make my neck swell a little bit, too. You know what's
know
next
what you
on
mean.
The menu.
Oh, yeah. We're getting ready.
Yes, sir. So,
thank you,
all
Mitch.
Right. You have a great weekend. All right,
you
Don.
Too. Mitch Jurisich, Delta Marina operator down there in the Empire, right by the big bridge. All right. We come back after this. We're heading to Grand Isle. Captain Darrell Carpenter's back with us. We gave him a week off. He's back. We'll find out if we got to retrain him. No retraining this guy. He's been fishing a long time. Back with his report after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's check in with Captain Darrell Carpenter, Grand Isle, realscreamers.com. Darrell, good morning. You had a little
good
time
morning,
off. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, my God, yeah. Went from waking up every morning looking at flat ground and marsh grass to being up in them clear mountain lakes with hills all around. It was very nice.
Yeah, and the weather played a good role in it, too, huh? Just in time.
It did. It stayed. A front didn't come through. A front that we were promised didn't come through to cool it off. It was 92 degrees up in the Ozarks, but them mountain lakes with water temperature about 80 was a sure nice retreat to swim into.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Well, now that you're back, what's on the fishing scene down there on the island?
Well, while I was gone, Don, I got a few reports, and you know, on the days when the weather was nice, some folks went out and ventured out, and there's still a lot of fish out front, or you know, down on the coast itself. We know that for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been catching fish up in the marsh. I mean, the fish are in that transition. But, you know, while I was gone, the reports were it was calm enough and nice enough that folks went out toward the beach, toward those beachfront reefs and those areas, and they're still packed full of fish. So all of the fish hadn't made their move yet. So the hard part right now is, I mean, once this weather calms down, what's it going to be, Monday or so, we're supposed to lose all this wind, and hopefully these flood tides go down. But the hard part is going to be deciding which way do I run, because it seems like that, you know, coming up on them ganged up might take a little bit of work, but there's fish everywhere right now. Speckled trout are still running really good. Of course, the redfish are up a little bit further north in the marsh. You got to head up toward that Leeville area, toward that Port Sulphur area, to start getting into any kind of really good redfish territory. But like I said, the hard part now is where do you go? You know, because, I mean, you're going to find fish just about anywhere you go.
Yep, and, you know, we got, this was a little bit of an early report, but we had one guy that went down there, and he didn't go very far at all. He was fishing off the bridge, and he loaded up on big bull reds, and it was right after the ride the bull. So there's some bulls around those passes if people want to do some catch and releasing.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, that started, like I said, I think ride the bull hit it a little bit early. Maybe a week or two early to get them really stacked up in there. But, I mean, that's going to last well into the, you know, November, December area where those bulls are stacked up. And, I mean, this is their time of the year. You know, the point of the regulation of no bulls, keeping no bulls, is to try to increase our breeding stock. So the one thing is, if you're going down, consider a little heavier tackle, because the shorter the fight, the less stress you put on that fish fighting it, the better chance it has to survive. So if that's going to be your thing, think about increasing your tackle size a little bit.
Right, and handle that redfish with TLC, a little bit of care and releasing it. Darrell, we've been asking some of our field reporters and our listeners if there was one regulation that you had the power to change. What would it be for you personally, and which one do you hear from your customers more than anything? Is it the 12-inch trout?
Well, my customers, I'm hearing the 15-inch more than anything else. I mean, the 15 fish per limit more than anything else is what I'm hearing. I've had a few regulars that just were no-shows this year, and, you know, basically they said that 15 fish ain't worth coming for. That's their opinion, not mine.
Yeah. Maybe they're fishing for not all the right reasons, if, you know, if they're just looking to come take home as many fish. Can you do that at the grocery store, you know?
Right, Right. My opinion, we'd probably have to revisit the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
Yeah. Do something with them dolphins, huh?
Oh, yeah, we got to. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly that, you know, we're shooting ourselves in the foot trying to, you know, with this 13-inch limit and having to throw back more fish, we're not achieving the goal. The mortality rate has got to be somewhere up around 60-70%.
Well, I don't know if we'll ever see any kind of a control management program on Flipper. I just don't see that coming around. Necessary as it might be to balance the other species, I just don't see it.
Not in our day and age, I promise you.
No, maybe never. Darryl, before you go, let's tell people about realscreamers.com. How do they get a hold of you besides on my website where we got a direct link to you? If they want to get with you and chat about some fall fishing dates and stuff, tell them how to get you.
Yeah, Don. I mean, they can go to realscreamers.com, and it doesn't matter how you spell it. We've got them both. Or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend, have a happy National Hunting and Fishing Day, and glad you had a nice vacation up there. You certainly deserve it.
We're going to do it, Don. I mean, we're still in the relaxed mode, so it's going to be a good day.
Very good. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for the report, as always. We appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. All right, we got they're having the seafood market going on down at Delacroix. From 9 to 1, if you want to take a ride down and get some fresh seafood right off the boat, it's at Robbins Dock, Delacroix, down in St. Bernard Parish. All right, coming up after this, going to get back to some of the regulations you would like to see change. I got one more I want to talk about that's kind of a pet peeve. Also got some teal hunting reports. We'll take you into the duck blinds of one Captain Ryan Lambert, and a guy I hunted with this week had an excellent hunt on Thursday morning. That would be Mike Smith, Louisiana Marsh Guide Service. He's back at it again today. What are you doing on National Hunting and Fishing Day? We'd love to hear from you. Text us, 504-260-1870, and we'll talk about it when we come back after this news break at the top of the hour of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got some fishing reports from the boats and some duck hunting, that is teal hunting reports from the blind. We'll pass those along to you. We're also asking you if you had the power to change one regulation that just bothers you, which regulation would it be? I got some other comments coming in on our text board. That's 504-260-1870. This is from Chip, one of our regular listeners. It's the problem he sees with fish population study is they go by the information the biologists get from fishermen coming back to the launch, where people do not participate by saying they didn't catch anything, but they have fish in their boats. Witnessed it firsthand. Yes, I would like to express that opinion. If people come back to the dock and you see a biologist and they want to know your catch or see it, please participate and be honest with them. That's how we get the correct regulations based on what the fishermen are reporting, as well as some other studies they do with net sampling and that type of thing. All right, here's one that says they would love to be allowed to shoot as many Mexican tree ducks whenever we can. Point Lahash Whistler sent that in. Yeah, we encountered a lot of those out in the teal blind this past week. Let's see. This one says, I'd like to see the hunting the WMA free, like it used to be, without paying $7 a night. And then we have this one. Yes, go back to the 12-inch trout. Agree on the gators. There's way too many. Getting dangerous because some people feed the damn things, especially to yakkers. That's from Old Dog. Let's see. We got this one from Jason, the crew at Corey's Barbershop. Go Tigers. Yeah, we had a couple of Tigers in the boat with us hunting gators, and we're going to talk more about that with Captain Ryan Lambert, who is now a gator hunter in addition to a fisher and hunter. Old man Sam stacking firewood at the house. Well, it might be a little too early for that, but hey, some people say it's never too early. All right, we're hearing from, it's Danica. She says they're going to be at the Wadeel event today. That's National Hunting and Fishing Day celebration. First 100 youth get a rod and reel at the Family Fish Fest area. The pond's been stocked with big catfish. Love for folks to come out and see us. So much to do at all these events, and it's free in reference to National Hunting and Fishing Day. In the New Orleans area, these four events are huge, and we are stretched pretty thin. But don't forget Big Bass Rodeo and Fishing Festival. That's going to be coming up in March. Different time of the year, but that event's growing every year with vendors, educational exhibits, and activities. We have fisheries. And these messages sometimes jump around. Wildlife staff there offering demonstrations. great opportunity to learn hunting and fishing. I thank Danica. She's a fisheries biologist and organizes the family fishing program with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Does a great job. Wadeel, got a stocked lake there. Free rod and reels for the first 100 kids that get there. And let me see, what was the time that one was opening there? Let me check my notes. That one opens at 8 a.m., so in under 2 hours, so you might want to start heading that way. All right, here's one that says they think the duck season needs to be pushed back. They don't show up till it gets cold. That's from Chauvin, Louisiana, and it is Zachary. All right, so there's some of them. Let's see, we got the, who else do we have? Okay, I'll get that question answered. And I had one more I wanted to mention, the turkey season in Louisiana. I think that might supersede my choice about expanding the alligator take. We've got a turkey season that opens beyond the peak gobbling period, and it just takes the whole sport out of it. Calling the turkey is the sport. Nothing, no other part of it is important as that. And we've got it now to where the peak of the gobbling is just about over by the time it opens in some areas. And hunting turkeys when they're not gobbling or reacting to calling is simply not the way to do it. Anyway, that's one of my pet peeves. All right, what's yours? 504-260-1870. Coming back after this, we're going to talk to the Born on the Bayou guy, Captain Mike Gallo, putting the pieces back after all these high winds and stuff. See where he'll be fishing today, what he's looking for. And maybe you can copy what he's doing and put some fish in your boat. Back with his report right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time to talk with Captain Mike Gallo. Born on the Bayou Report is a presentation of CETO. And if you've never heard of them, well, let me tell you a little bit about them. If you are a CETO member, you get free towing 24/7. If you need fuel, you run out a little short on the gas, they'll bring it to you and get you going. They'll jumpstart you for your electrical problems. And if they have to, they'll tow you all the way to your dock. It's premier on-water assistance. They've got expert captains standing by to help you. And also some other advantage like discounts on fuel and lodging and some other advantages too. Find out more about it and get signed up. You call Captain Chris. He'll be happy to talk to you. It's 504-301-4545. That's 301-4545, 504 area code. Or simply go to your computer and do CETO.com. That's CETO.com. Captain Mike joins us. And, Mike, hopefully the winds are going to finally die down. Maybe the tides will drop a little bit. Got a foot tidal range. What are you looking at doing this morning, given the conditions you're faced with?
Well, I tell you, Don, it's always important for the Holy Trinity. Clean, moving water with the presence of bait. So that'll be, you know, what I'm looking for first. I'd like to find clean water that's moving, that's relatively deep. As we know from past storms, a lot of fish will move into deep water during a storm. So that storm wasn't too long ago, and I would imagine if those fish have started to fan out, maybe they hadn't moved too terribly far from that deep water. So we'll be fishing those types of areas. Areas like Chef Pass, Unknown Pass, Bayou Thomas, those type of deep moving water. And, you know, sort of take an assessment after, say, 15, 30 minutes and make adjustments as you go. But I'm always going to look for clean moving water with bait fish in the area.
Gotcha. Mike, as far as I got a listener that wanted to know about fishing muddy or dirty water, what is the best color plastics? And you know, the old rule of thumb, which really sounds contradictory, is the dirtier or the dingier the water, the darker the bait you should use. And that's an old bass fisherman's philosophy. Do you find that, or is there some other rule that you use when you're fishing dirty or dingy water?
Well, I'll tell you, if I can't find any clean water, then I obviously want to find the cleanest water I can. And one of the three things we're looking for is bait fish. So if I can identify the bait fish, in other words, if I'm seeing mullet or if I'm seeing pogey or if I'm seeing shrimp, then obviously I'm going to try to mimic one of those bait fish that I see. When I see pogies, I like to fish glow. Mullets, I kind of like the silver with a dark back. And shrimp, I like the opening night or even blue moon type of color. Matrix has one called Magneto. That's a real favorite of mine whenever I see live shrimp in the area. One of the advantages I have as a guide as I might have three people fishing, and if we're fishing plastics, I can have somebody fishing a medium color like avocado, somebody fishing a dark color like purple or black, and somebody fishing a light color, and then we sort of take stock, see who's catching, or even if they're missing, then we know they're getting bites, and we can slowly set the other group up with the same color baits.
Gotcha. Any different choice for whether you work in reds or speckled trout, or you just stick pretty much with whatever the bait mimic is, you go with that?
Well, the other thing I try to do, if I have a hard moving tide, I want a bait that's going to make a hard or a lot of vibration. So when it comes to redfish, if I got a decent moving tide, I'll fish a spinner. If I don't have much of a tide, I may fish a spoon, something that sort of mimics the vibration in the water. So it's pretty much all about matching the hatch. Matching the hatch as far as bait selection, going with the bait that you see, and also matching the hatch as far as how much vibration is the bait you see putting off proportional to the amount of tide they're swimming against. Yeah. I know I said a lot there.
Hey, that's why they call you the forensic fisherman. Mike, this time of year, we're kind of winding down the tropical storm hurricane season. People start looking forward to a little saltier water closer in. Those bridges that cross from New Orleans to Slidell, Trestle Bridge for the railroad, the Twin Span, and then also the Highway 11 Bridge. It's become known as a World Series trout because speckled trout show up there doing the World Series, which is just a couple weeks away. Any indications of what we're going to see October-wise over there by those bridges?
I can tell you that I'm hopeful that we'll see some trout over there for the World Series, which would be a little break in, say, the last 5 years, because they've sort of showed up later, more like November. But this year, we've had saltier water close by all year because the Mississippi River's been low. So I'm thinking they just won't have to travel quite as far. We caught some nice size. You know, I would call World Series trout 17 inches or above. And we caught some of those in Lake Bourne last week. Now, this week, we didn't get a chance to do much fishing with the high winds and securing the lodge for this storm that went by. But I am hopeful that we'll see some soon.
Got it. Mike, tell people all the ways they can get a hold of you if they're getting ready to do a little bit of fall fishing and want to get on the calendar for some of those redfish maybe up in the Biloxi Marsh or if they're looking for speckled trout.
Very simple, Don. You can find me at DonTheOutdoorsGuide.com. My website is AAOfLA.com. We're on Facebook at Angling Adventures of Louisiana or the reliable telephone, which is 985-781-7811.
All right. I guess you're getting a little later start these days because it stays dark a little later this time of year. We're starting to see the days get shorter.
Well, after you have some kind of a tropical activity nearby, you want to leave when there's good light because there could be debris floating in the water that you wouldn't see when it was dark. So we are having a little bit of a later departure today.
Mike, did you get all that ingress of water hyacinths? I was up by Lake Pontchartrain shortly after the blow came through, and I'm talking about Francine, and for miles and miles it looked like the water hyacinths got dislodged from the Manchac and Tangipahoa area and maybe St. Tammany, some of the rivers and lakes, and just enormous rafts of them floating out there. Did they make it as far as you?
I did not see him personally, but I did have a client tell me he was driving across the Twin Span and saw quite a few as well. And, you know, I said the high water will sort of dislodge them. And then when the tide starts to come out with such velocity, it pulls them out with them. They'll die off when they get in that real salty water.
Yes, they will, which is not a bad thing. That's something we need less of, water hyacinths. Mike, thanks for the report. Good luck today, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Sounds good, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All righty. There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo on National Hunting and Fishing Day. All right, coming back after this is Paddler Report time. Captain Eric Mohabarak, he's going to be talking about a couple of things, and especially a tournament that's coming up. It's called the Hobie World Qualifier. We'll be back to talk to him right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our Strokers Report, also called the Paddler's Report, with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, presented by Massey's. You're going to find three locations, one in New Orleans, one in Covington, and one in Baton Rouge. Offering all the best kayak fishing models, lots of accessories. They do those demo days where you can ride before you buy. Check them out on Facebook. That's Massey, M-A-S-S-E-Y, Outfitters. Or go to the website, MasseyOutfitters.com. Captain Eric Mohabarak joins us. And, Eric, we got a tournament going on today known as the Redfish Rumble Catch, Photo, and Release. Tell us more details, where it is and who's fishing it.
Well, where it's at is in South Louisiana off of Highway 23 in Plaquemines Parish. It also includes St. Bernard Parish. It's the aggregate of five redfish. The longest length wins. You're only allowed to catch a 29.75. It is a catch photo release, people. So they take the picture and they send it into the app and they take the picture. And with the longest length, they decide who wins. Today, if I was fishing that tournament, I would personally go over to specials along that way on the other side of the river and try and catch a little break in the wind and fish some grassy ponds up in there. Watch out for the duck hunters, of course, everybody, because it is duck teal season, you know. It's a great little tournament. It's been going on since the beginning.
Why is it a 29.75 is the largest? Why did they put that in there?
They wanted to make it a little bit more challenging to people, you know. It always seems harder when you're trying to catch a specific size, you know. It limits the catching on the bull reds, too. But 29 inches is, well, people consider that a bull red. I'm old school. I go by the pounds, but... you know, so they have to have a limit on something where they can do the measurements and stuff like that.
All right, one that Brendan's also mentioned is the Fallen Tide, and that's coming up next month. It's a Hobie World Qualifier Slam Tournament. How does that one work?
Yeah, Don, that's going to be huge. That's a chance for someone to win a spot on the Hobie World's fishing team from the United States and to go and travel and fish. Steve Lassard, Tommy Eubanks are two of the members from our club that have participated in that. Brendan has also gone. They haven't let me go yet. I'm hoping one day. But you travel, like they were in Switzerland one time, China. Uh-huh. They held one in Texas down in Fuchon. And for this one, you're going to have to – it's a kill tournament for us this year. It's Falling Tide, speckled trout, redfish, and flounder. The largest one wins and wins a trip to the Hobie Worlds.
All right, so where will this qualifier be, and how do you sign up for it?
Well, at the world-famous Ponderosa Empire Marina. I keep thinking about that food he's got over there.
It's
going to be held at the Delta Marina in Empire. You can get online and sign up for it at the Bayou Coast website. I think it's bayoucoast.org. That's October 12th, I believe. It gets right before the ending of the flounder season. And the reason why they do that is because it's a slam tuner and it is a catch and kill.
Very good. All right, one more thing. Our buddy,
the Weave,
he was fishing again in Mississippi. What did he catch? That guy, he can catch anything, huh?
Man, he gets lucky. You know?
Oh, I don't know about luck. There's a lot of talent in there too, you know.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, no. He actually caught a triple tail. He is like in Louisiana, as far as I know, to the best of my knowledge. Brendan caught his in Louisiana, and his was in Mississippi. But those are two people that I know that personally caught triple tail out of a kayak. So it's something that people may want to start looking for, fishing around the beach areas and things like that. You know, always keep your eyes open. Anything floating, any stick, log, whatever, throw a lure or a live shrimp or something at it. They love the live shrimp, but usually we're fishing with plastics at the kayak. You know, throw it at it. Sometimes they eat it. That's what happened with Chris. He caught it on a root beer and a chartreuse gulp trip.
Well,
while trying to see something else. Yeah, he seen it and took the cast and it ate.
That's usually the way it happens.
It was undersized, though. It was 15 inches, had to be 18 in Mississippi, and he did release it. So that's a cool thing, you know.
Well, maybe he can catch it again. He's like that.
Yeah.
Before you go, one more thing. This is the time to gripe. If you had a kayak fisherman in general, if there's one regulation you guys could change if you could, what would it be?
I would change, not fishing-wise or anything. I would make it mandatory that everyone in a kayak should wear a PFD, Don. It's just no reason not to. We've talked about this so many times, but it's no reason not to wear them because they make them so comfortable. But it saves lives, you know. I just heard of somebody recently in Florida and all of that lost their life again, and you know, no life preserver. You have a life preserver, you got it. I think it's what 87% chance of survival rate or something like that.
Right.
The number's out there; people can read it.
Yeah.
And that's what I would change. Mandatory, and you know what, Purrogs too. Yeah, Purrogs too. It's not going to hurt you to wear a PFD.
Absolutely not. That may be the best of the day. Thanks as always. Yeah. We appreciate it. Somebody wants to fish with you for the Louisiana Kayak Company. You do charters with the kayaks. You provide everything. Tell them the best way to reach you.
Well, on your website, Don DeBute, the Outdoors Guy. They can get through on Facebook and Instagram, the Louisiana Kayak Company, or just send me a text or a call at 504-313-8292.
Sounds good, Eric. We'll catch you next time, my friend.
All right, Don. You have a great day, man.
All right. Happy National Hunting and Fishing Day. There he goes, Captain Eric Haberach of Louisiana Kayak Company. All right. I need some help for a listener. Listener's got some relatives coming in a couple of weeks. They're looking for a good seafood restaurant on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain. I've got some I can suggest. How about you, listeners? What's your favorite seafood restaurant on the North Shore? Text me, 504-260-1870, and we're back with the Bad Boys of the Outdoors story for the week after this time out on the Outdoors with Don DeBute Radio Network. All right, just want to remind people, you might have seen a picture of a pointer with me. I met a new dog. It's one of the adoptable pointers from the Pointer Rescue Organization. I do a little bit of work with them as my daughter's very involved with it. And I got to tell you, there's some wonderful, great hunting dogs and family pets that are available for adoption and fostering. And if you're interested in doing that, if you want to get a bird dog, a lot of these dogs, for whatever reason, the owners may become ill, might be a professional trainer that the dog doesn't meet his specific needs, but still are good hunting companions. Contact me if you want information on them, and you can do that. Go to my website, dontheoutdoorsguy.com, and go to the contact button and shoot me an email with your information. Or you can text me here at 504-260-1870. All right, had the question about the favorite seafood restaurant on the North Shore. I don't know whether you want to go East North Shore, Central North Shore, or West, so I'll tell you the three. If you're going to talking about the East near Slidell, Southside Cafe, without a doubt. If you're going to be in the middle part of St. Tammany or the western part, that would be Mandeville Seafood. And if you're talking about the North Shore over there on Tangipahoa, Middendorf's, the Man Shack Fried Catfish Sliced In, that's always a great one. Got some listener suggestions. House of Seafood Buffet in Bush, I'm not a fan of that. New Orleans Food and Spirits in Covington. Morton's in Madisonville, that's from Sherman in Covington. A lot of people like Kenny's in Slidell. They got po' boys and fried seafood. Phil's Marina and Cafe in Slidell, that's from Chris in Mandeville. So you got a lot of options there. You can kind of take your pick. They also asked what was my favorite seafood dish. And, you know, given the particular day, I might pick a soft shell crab. Another might be some oysters fried very crispy on the outside and raw in the middle. Could be fried shrimp. Go for the platter. That way you get a little bit of all of it. And doesn't matter. Whatever your favorite is will be there on the seafood platter. All right, we come back after this. It's Bad Boy time, guy. We're talking about changing regulations. He didn't get the memo or he didn't care about some changes in redfish, and He was caught and nabbed by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. His story's next, right after we pause 10 seconds. Let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, on Sunday, September the 8th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries senior agents Austin Anderson and Troy Otan were on patrol when they observed Bruno Robles Ramos actively fishing on the Bridgeside Marina fishing pier around 4 a.m., after conducting a license and compliance inspection, Ramos was in possession of 5 redfish in excess of 27 inches. Now, you know, the recent regulations say you can't possess any redfish in excess of 27. It used to be you could keep 1. That has now changed. Never in a long time have you been able to keep 5. The agents were able to return 1 of the redfish to the water, and they donated the other 4 to a local charity. Facing criminal and civil restitution payback fines totaling a paltry, in my opinion, $456, is Bruno Robles Ramos of Riviera, Texas, our bad boy of the outdoors. Kind of noticed a trend here. Our bad boy's lately been from visiting neighboring states. All right, we come back after this. Let's find out if the plastic man's found his way to the teal blind this morning. He told me during the week that they had a little bit of a shot in the arm from this frontal system, and their ponds had tons of teal in them. Let's see how they're doing. Then we got Mike Smith. He's over in Delacroix. He's locked and loaded, and I hunted with him this week on an excellent trip. Back to talk about teal hunting and fishing in the Burris area right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Plastic Man is one Captain Ryan Lambert. He joins us now. We joined him this week. And, well, let's start off talking about the teal. Ryan, you guys are in the blind right now. What's it look like? You had shooting hours now, I guess about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, we just got set up. First place I wanted, where we had slaughtered them yesterday, I couldn't get in. It was just not high enough with that west wind. So I came to a different blind. I'm in a teal blind today. So we've seen a few pass, but nothing great yet. Yesterday by 8 o'clock they had 30. So.
Wow.
Yeah, they was coming in big droves yesterday. So hopefully they'll do it again. You know, normally when they migrating in, they'll stop and feed to about 8 and then start flying.
Is that Kenley whining, I hear?
Oh, yeah, she's rocking on red.
Yeah, she's on the edge waiting to go pick up them birds. Oh, they love it. They love it. Well, glad this little front system helped out. We're going to get a good closing for the teal and wrap it up. And then it'll be waiting till November for the big duck season coming on. You know, so many people get confused where you are. You're in the east zone of the state, the west zone, and you are probably the easternmost point in the state down there.
Without a doubt, I don't get it. But, you know, it comes in either 3 or 5 year increments. They can't change their
choices,
zones and limits and stuff. So we're going to have to wait. But I'm going to lobby hard for a coastal zone, that anything that's tidal needs to be in the coastal zone, to where when it's negative, we're closed.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, we sure had fun doing the alligator hunt for Bayou Wild TV's Tigers in the Wild feature. We had second baseman Stephen Milam and Milam, and also we had Jared Jones, nicknamed the Bear, the first baseman for LSU. They did great hunting those gators. A little nervous, but did good.
When you're from New Mexico, you haven't seen a lot of gators, so that's why.
Especially a 10-footer, and we got 2 beautiful alligators, and thanks to Blimp, man, what a job he does for you, huh?
Oh, you should have seen yesterday. He had to jump in on 3 of them.
Uh-oh.
And, oh, God, it was a free fall. I had to get 6 yesterday, and I checked 15 lines and never had a 1, so I had to go hunt them, and we got our 6. But I tell you what, Blimp was rolling in the water, brother.
Well, I wish we'd have had the video camera for that. That would have been a sight.
I got some film of it. I'll send
good.
It to you. Oh,
send
my God.
It's
a nice swan dive on 1.
He's just the guy for it. Well, gator season's about wrapping up. Are all your tags filled yet?
No, we still got a couple of more weeks, and I got 3 hunters coming in Monday, so I'll take care of that. And then I'll have a few, then I'll let some of the girls get them 1, you know. That's wood ducks. A lot of woodies and model ducks around.
Yeah, boy, we saw some of the biggest flocks. You know, model ducks are usually seen in pairs or small flocks. So we saw some of the biggest model duck flocks I've ever seen down there in Delacroix.
Those are families, because this habitat right here is breeding model ducks like crazy. And that's why the decline of the model duck is there, because we've lost so much habitat. But since we did that DU project right here 3 years ago, this is covered in model ducks. I mean, right here, guys, on the right. Wood ducks.
Don't shoot.
Wood ducks. Again.
Well, you know, the people need to be aware you can't take model ducks even during the regular season for the first 15 days. So.
Right, right. I mean, they're really in decline. So I think we got 9 or 10 boats fishing today, 4 blinds hunting. Thank God I got all my alligators right here. Big old flock right there, guys. That's all wood ducks. Big old flock of wood ducks.
Yeah, we saw that down there last year with you. You know, you had all the
wood
ducks.
Yeah, and you know, during the regular season, there won't be one single wood duck. We never kill a wood duck in the regular season.
No, they just
absolutely
get out of the
absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, they go back into the woods and the river swamps in during the regular season.
Well, I wish they'd hang around for a week anyhow, you know.
Yeah. How about the Mexican whistlers? We saw
them. I haven't seen any yet.
No?
Most of them, all of Ms. Carmen's have left. You know, last full moon, they left. Yeah. She had one come the other day. She looked out the window. Oh, I got a duck. She's running out there with the corn. I said, baby, they're gone. They'll be back in March.
Oh, you guys sure have it look good down there in Cajun Fishing Adventures, man. You do it all.
That's Lubin. She does that. But right here, guys. Take him.
Teal.
Oh, good shot. Ken Bass. There you go.
She got a splash. I heard it. Good. Single bird came in.
That was pretty good.
Full single bird?
28. I got my 28.
You say couldn't shoot. Yeah, single bird. Come flying over the decoy. They're whacking good.
Yeah.
Ken is on him like a laser beam.
That's great. You know, the only time I got a little nervous down there on the alligator hunt is when them boys wanted to put those gators up on their shoulders. I'm thinking, oh man. I can see the headline now. You know, Steven Milam, second baseman, shoulder injury, out for the season, trying to pick up a 500-pound alligator. Yeah. Those gators had to go 500 pounds plus, I'm thinking, huh? 10-foot gator.
No, but they was a good 350s.
Oh,
they were big gators. I had a bunch of big ones yesterday too. I love this.
Oh, I know you do. I know. You know, whenever we come down there, you know, me and you are old. We're getting old, or maybe already old. But when we get down there, we like kids, man. We like kids.
Oh yeah. You know, it's being in the marsh. You know, people say, oh, there could be some bugs. It's gonna be hot. Dude, you get in this marsh and teal season, you could smell it. It's so beautiful. And the duck potatoes and the vegetation. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
I
don't know where they come from.
Yeah. I got a text in from Pinecone Joe up in the Kiln in Mississippi, and he's saying that the fall migration of the birds is ramping up, and he wanted you to confirm that. I know you had the Eco Tour, and you're out there now. Other birds, you know, for bird watches. When is the peak of that down in your area? That's a landing point for you guys.
Next full moon, everything will really blow in. Everything changes on next full moon. The birds will all start migrating in. The trout will come inside. Everything changes on this full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the tides will be different after that. So it's our time of the year.
Yes,
river's low. I'm hoping the hurricane don't go in the Mississippi Valley. If it stays out there, don't not give me too much water. Shame on them poor people for saying that. But
yeah.
I've been through a lot of it. I know what they're dealing with.
Yeah, you certainly have paid the price. Well, glad everything's going on.
Everything.
You got teal coming in. The fishing's on. The gators are there. It's a great time at Cajun Fishing Adventures. And give people the phone number people want to call you.
Yeah, they can call me direct at 504-559-5111. I saw something coming in low.
You are the master. You can do radio reports, call in ducks, shoot them, and work a dog all at the same time. And sometimes some customers that misbehave, you got to get on them.
I know. We got something. I Kenley bites for that.
All right, brother. Be good. We'll see you. Hey, I'll probably be down there tomorrow. We'll make that last teal hunt.
Just give me a call. You come tonight if you want.
All right. Sounds good.
Right.
There he is, our plastic man. Man of steel, actually. They got steel shot in those shotguns for the teal. All right. Coming back after this, another teal blind. I made a hunt this week with Captain Mike Smith of Louisiana Marsh Guide Service. Boy, what a great hunt. 18 bird limit by 8:20 a.m. Doesn't get much better than that. No bugs, cool breeze, and the birds were participating. We'll see what's going on there this morning right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, down in Delacroix at Robbins, Hopedale. We got to get this right because there was some confusion. Robbins Rock Dock in Hopedale. At 9 o'clock this morning, there's going to be one of those seafood markets. Buy seafood fresh off the boat. Not far from there in Delacroix is Mike Smith of Louisiana Marsh Guide Service. Had a beautiful hunt with him. 18 birds by 8:20 on a beautiful, cool, breezy morning on Thursday. That was great. Mike, are you duplicating that this morning?
Hold on one sec.
That is a high-pitched teal call.
Hey, there's a lot flying, but a lot not cooperating. We got three already.
Yeah.
The morning's early, but there's a lot of birds flying today.
Well, I'm sure you'll get your limit. How many hunters you have with you?
I have my brother and my two nephews.
All right.
Yeah, we decided to make a family hunt today.
That'll be great. That'll be great. Conditions still like it was on Thursday? You got this little cool snap, maybe some nice wind blowing in?
Not a breath of wind today.
Come on. Well,
yeah.
That's a change.
Yeah, big time. And that alligator went to every decoy and tried to eat it.
He found a home there in your duck pond, man. He figures
he'll
get one of those teals sooner or later.
Yeah, if I don't beat him to it, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, you know.
But a little flock came in, and they dropped three, so we're waiting for some more. There's a lot of birds, so we're going to get some more opportunities.
So your teal season, and really it hasn't been all that great the whole month, but, man, you've had great success on that one particular pond, and I was scratching my head. Yeah. Didn't see any feed, didn't see anything special. What is it that brought those birds there, you think?
Just their flyaway. This is my best teal season since 2020 down here.
Yeah.
Because the last few years have been rotten for teal season. But yet they show up in November.
Yeah. You know?
But for this reason, can't figure it out. There's a lot of birds in this area.
Still seeing a lot of model ducks like we saw?
Yeah. We almost had three land the decoys a little while ago.
Yeah. I tell you, I think there's going to be some mistakes made because, they put that weird regulation where you can't shoot them for the first 15 days of the season, and then you can shoot them after that, and the limit's one. People are going to be – they really need to really read those regulations with a magnifying glass and make sure they get all of it down.
Yeah, the first 15 days while the birds are still dumb, you can't shoot them. You know?
Yeah, they'll wise up. But it looks like the regulations, something's working. You know, we've seen, I think, more model ducks than we've seen in a while.
Yeah. Now, during, like in August when we rode back here, I didn't see a one. Hmm. And if you ride back here looking for teal, you won't see any getting up. But you go hunt the next morning, they come out the woodwork.
You know, the other strange thing, we didn't see hardly any birds high flyers. Everything was right along the top of the marsh grass.
Right. I saw one little flock that was high this morning, about five or six. But everything was real low, looking for a place to land. So hopefully they make up their mind to come land here.
Well, we got a November season coming up, regular duck season. If somebody wants to book with you, I'm sure you got some openings. How do they get a hold of you?
504-228-4506, LADuckHunts.com.
LADuckHunts.com. Easy enough.
Yep.
All right. Well, I hope y'all get your limit out there today, and thanks for that great hunt on Thursday, man. That was one that'll go down in history. It was perfect.
That was fantastic. We had BBs in our shell this time.
Yeah, was working well. Thanks again, Mike.
All right. Good talking to you.
Yes, sir. Good luck. Mike Smith, a professional guide down there in the Delacroix area. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll be back again next week. We'll not do this exactly the same, but we do fishing reports. We do text messages. Keep you aware of regulation changes. Look at the weather for you if you're headed out. Everything we can do to make you have a successful day. Hope you get out and celebrate this National Hunting and Fishing Day in some fashion or form, and then come back and tell us about it next week. We'll be back to do this right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.